a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Twin Peaks at 59 and Kirby.
Presented by Dos Equis.
Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Sort of big weekend of football from this perspective. If any of the three big teams in Texas lose, sorry, Cowboys, you're not one of them anymore, it's going to be very embarrassing. First off, you've got the two games tomorrow. You've got Texas playing Kentucky, who stinks this year.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Texas A&M playing Auburn tomorrow night. Auburn also stinks this year as a texter texts in. We stink. War damn Eagle. And, of course, the Texans play the Titans on Sunday. Any of these three teams losing will be quite the punch in the Nads.
Oh, Mike. And, I mean, A&M, they have to beat Texas to make the college football playoff, but to not even have a chance because you lose this weekend would be heartbreaking.
It would suck.
Because I would imagine Texas still has a slight chance, even if they were to lose this weekend. Because they could follow that up with a top 12-ish win. And then right now, what we've seen so far from the College Football Playoff Committee is that when Georgia and Miami lost, they both automatically moved back 8 spots. So that, in theory, puts Texas at 11, which would have them out of the College Football Playoff because of the non-Power 5 teams and stuff like that, but still a chance to make it. And so it's not totally over if you're Texas, but that would be a heartbreaker.
If either of these teams lose before their game the weekend after this one, I think it'll be sky is falling kind of disaster. All the vibes will be taken out at least until the immediate, like, couple of hours right before the game. Texas is a 20.5-point favorite per mybookie.ag against Kentucky. And the line for Texas A&M, they're only 2.5-point favorites against Auburn. So at the very least, they are making it seem a little bit easier for you from that side of things. Texans, meanwhile, 7.5-point favorites against the Titans. Is anyone willing to do the parlay? The Texas 3-step?
Oh.
You know,
ooh, I like that. What else do we got? We got
just these three. Texas A&M by 2.5. Texas by 20.5. Texans by 7.5. The Texas cover.
I mean, I'd love to, but UT, man, they ain't covering. They're winning, but they're not covering some of these games. So I feel like that would be the one that would hurt it. To cover the spread, I would bet on. I'd be feel more comfortable with A&M and the Texans. UT makes me a little nervous at 20.5. But you know what? I'm in.
Okay.
We can do that.
Okay. Let's think about it. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. And Joe, once you're done driving up to
the Burj?
Well, you gotta go up to Kingwood to pick up your wife because you're gonna make her happy.
Yes.
You stepped out of line a little bit, just a little bit.
Just a little.
Cool, good, fellas.
Just a little bit.
Then you drive down to League City.
Yeah.
And then you drive to the La Verge, and you can do the same thing as me.
Yeah.
Or I can do it on a website.
I just have to get across the border.
Oh. Well, that would also be far. Like all of these.
Yeah, I know.
It's funny
on the way to Lake Charles.
You got a lot of driving to make this better.
Yeah. There's not, on the way to Lake Charles, there's not really like a, I feel like you don't really see like the Welcome to Louisiana sign.
Mm-hmm.
You see it on the way back.
Yeah.
But it took me a while to like figure out like when I actually left Texas and got into Louisiana.
Sean and I have websites that we can use, and Joe's is going to have to do some more driving.
Yeah, I'll just use one of your websites for this one.
There is a chance the Texans are maybe overlooking things. I missed this quote earlier in the week. I'll be honest, every single time I hear Titus Howard speak, I get a little annoyed because he was nowhere to be found after stripping the ball out of C.J. Stroud's hands. In that Sunday night game against the Lions, he said he would speak later in the week because he was too pissed off. He didn't. But here is Titus Howard talking about some narrative that did not exist going into the Monday night Texans-Cowboys game.
Yeah, that was crazy.
You know, little bro, I don't know what bro thought, but we ain't no little bros, and we showed that today. So
apparently people were saying the Texans are the Cowboys' little bros. No one said that. Who's saying that?
See, okay, this is when you see one person talk, and it leads to this, like, giant generalization.
Who? Dallas Cowboys fan? Boogerballs 42069 on X?
There was the one linebacker, I think it was, that we, like, never heard
of. Oh, Demarion Overshown, yeah.
That said, like, we run Texans.
You know what? You're right.
But it's one player. Hell, we found out last night, I can't remember if I put this in the rundown or not even, that two of the Cowboys' best players after the game went and shot music videos.
Nice.
After. Apparently, Trevon Diggs and CeeDee Lamb went and shot a music video after they got done losing the Texans
like
on Monday
Night
Football.
The same night?
Yes. They left the game and went and shot a music video.
Wait, that's so late. They're shooting it at like 1 a.m.?
Great question.
Midnight?
But Shannon Sharpe was just roasting them for doing that.
Oh, my God. See, yes. Oh, God, that sucks.
That's so Cowboys.
You can't even be excited about a 34-10 win.
Yeah.
Which Titus Howard's like, oh, yeah, pump my tires now. We ain't no one's little brother. Well, you were the Lions' little brother. You are your own little brother on Sunday night where you stripped the ball out of C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, so I think that's taking like one comment from a Cowboys player and maybe what he's hearing a little bit on the radio because he clearly listens. So I wonder like if he's hearing some of that and getting it, but I was like, who cares?
Yeah, I'm with you there. And also, too, there's a little more bleep talk between the Texans and Titans going on this week. We read this quote yesterday. Here's Hannah McNair at a fire station. In all firefighter equipment, she is a tiny woman. This is I can't believe they found firefighter equipment that fit her without like basically making her look like a toddler. But
yeah.
Here she is in firefighter gear talking a little trash about the Tennessee Titans.
Well, it's all of our AFC teams. We have a good rivalry. We play them twice a year, so our players, they know each other. Coaches know each other really well, and you know, it's a challenge to play someone twice a year because of that. So you'll see that on Sunday. These guys know each other, and it'll be a battle. It's always a battle.
It's a fun rivalry, I would say. I mean, well, we've taken over Houston. We've taken our fans back, so they're just the Titans now.
They've taken our city back. Is that 100% true? Because there's still weird holdouts here. I don't understand them. Like, maybe if you're the biggest Vince Young fan, I could understand how you'd be a Titans fan still.
Yeah.
But he left. And also, they ran him off. Like, the Titans kind of, many Texas fans will argue this. I don't know that I agree with him because I think Vince Young had his own doing in playing his way out of the league and maybe not working as hard as he needed to. But people still like the Titans here. A team that left them. A team that doesn't even have cool uniforms anymore. A team that has never been good.
Mm-hmm.
With no history. Constantly blew it when they were here in Houston. Blew it as the Tennessee Titans. They've been the one seed three times. They've been one and done each time. They lose a Super Bowl by 1 yard. Help me out here. What is it?
Yeah, I don't understand. I definitely think it's at the point now where like they've kind of been mostly run out. I guess we just don't interact with them. Like, they're not, you know, like, Cowboys fans who are listening and calling in and stuff like that. That's the only, like, thing I would nitpick with what Hannah said. It's, like, you haven't really taken Houston all the way yet because there's still a ton of Cowboys fans here. There's still a ton of people that, like, I mean, hell, like, half our producer staff, like, part-time producer staff are Cowboys fans.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, you know, so you can't say you fully took back Houston when the team in Dallas still has
it's a
strong foothold.
I mean,
but
it's a weird city.
They've taken it back from the Titans for sure.
It's a weird NFL city because the team left and there was a period of time where there was no team here and some people just never really came back to the NFL and now there's this team here and they've had some years where they've been at best frisky but they've mm-hmm. never been serious, you know?
Yeah.
Ultimately. And I mean the big thing that I feel bad for, and I see some people pushing back, like, hey, you know, like, the players only care about the owners that they played for. Well, Bud's dead, you know? Bud is dead. He's gone forever. If I'm one of those ex-Oilers players, wouldn't you want to have one moment where you're honored at midfield? And the thing is so strange where, like, that's almost not allowed. And, you know, I've met Robert Brazil a couple of times. Great guy. Dan Pastorini, I've talked to him like 10 times. We had him on my TV show with John back in the day all the time. I feel bad that those guys don't get to have a moment where they're out in front of a Houston crowd and honored. And more than anyone, Earl Campbell. I mean, the guy can't even walk because he was playing for, those owners, sure, but this city too. And no one appreciates Earl Campbell more than the state of Texas. And this guy's never going to get his true, I guess, tip of the hat from this city. And maybe something has happened and I'm not. But I would, if I were here, and the Texans still have the Oilers history, forget the uniforms, I would honor that guy every single year. I would honor all of these guys
single year. They're clearly trying to bridge some of those gaps, I would say, because, Bruce Matthews did the pump-up video, the release video for the New Jerseys.
Right.
He's at the last game versus the Lions when they put him on the screen. He got a big ovation and, a big cheer.
He's the only guy that has ever said it belongs to Houston. Everyone else, I'm sure they got paid a little bit, have said the Tennessee owns them. Alan Beats is bringing up Warren Moon loyal to the Adams. Yeah, I'm sure he's getting paid. But it's weird because he played here, and there were people that have fond memories of him here, and he can't get honored here. I think that's effed up. And Houston, the city, certainly could have fought harder to keep the history. The Seattle Sonics did that, or Seattle did that with the Supersonics. The one good thing that government has ever done up in Seattle. You could have done it here. Everyone looks a little bit bad in the end. Bud Adams more than anybody. But I feel bad. I feel like the players got completely effed over.
100%.
That played here. And they deserve to get honored here instead of being flown up to Nashville in front of people that,
don't know who they
are. Unless they're, an NFL savant.
See, it's a little different now. As I was growing up. And obviously, rest in peace. But Steve McNair, Eddie George, those guys actually played for the Titans, did something for that franchise. Because even as a fan, I couldn't imagine caring about Warren Moon if I lived in Tennessee. Who cares? I have a hard enough time caring about people that played for the teams I rooted for that were there before I was born. Let alone played in a different city.
Well, that's a huge problem, though.
Yeah, I know, but
Joe George, we just heard it here first. Joe George, not a fan of Walter Payton.
I didn't say that.
Here, right there. You may as well have said it.
But, it's just...
Joe George, Walter Payton bust? 713-780-3776.
There's only, one great player in Titans-only history. Chris Johnson.
Yeah, because McNair was here for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Eddie George was here for a little bit of time.
Everyone else, it's like...
Chris Johnson, God,
they have nothing to stand on.
Derrick Henry, but he's...
Oh, yeah, Derrick Henry now, yeah.
But still, he's gone.
Yeah. So it's two great running backs, but that's all you got.
There's got to be someone else. Is that really it?
The only play for the Titans?
Honestly, I think you're right. I can't... Jeffrey Simmons is actually, probably top 10.
Yeah. Michael Huff?
I mean, A.J. Brown... Before he left for the Eagles.
But that was such a short period.
It depends on how long they have to have played before you to consider them. But A.J. Brown's a great player.
Javon Kurse, that's a good
Javon
one.
Kurse
but
a great
to go
player,
back
yeah.
to it, what,
oh, yeah.
this is my question for the Titans fans that live here. Why? I don't get it.
Yeah, why?
I really don't get it. And you're going to see enough, maybe less so than a couple of years ago when the Titans were, 13-2. Maybe they were 12-2, and they came to NRG and. They smoked. Actually, I think it was a closer game than you would have thought. But there were tons of Titans fans out there, and they're all swinging their thing around and stuff. And I was okay, you're good. You're going to go one and done in the playoffs. By the way, they did. What a surprise with the one seed. Oh wow. But I don't get it. I want to know why. And I don't think anyone can really explain it.
No.
You sided with Bud Adams, who was too poor to build his own stadium.
Yeah.
And, the city, to their credit, they said no. I actually respect a city willing to say F you to a football team.
Yeah, I think they never thought they would actually leave. But
the Titans didn't think they would leave. They didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
They basically the city of Houston, go back in time, city of Houston said no. So they didn't have anywhere to play. They had something in the works, but like they weren't going to be able to start playing. And they didn't have their own stadium until 1999. They played in Memphis in 97, yep. And they played in Vanderbilt Stadium in 1998. It's crazy.
I know, the fact that they had to play in two different stadiums.
They had no plan. They moved. They stuck with the nickname because they wanted to keep it. And everyone in the city of everyone in the whole state of Tennessee was like, why are you still the Oilers? This doesn't make any sense. The uniforms are cool,
yeah.
But they didn't think the uniforms were cool there. They were like, this. Go look it up. There's articles about this. People were like, why are we still the Oilers? Huh? And so they came up with like the least creative nickname ever. The Titans?
Yeah, what is the Titans?
Did they watch Remember the Titans, the movie? Like, I don't even know. They might... I think that came out in 2000. I forget.
I think it's like it's all like right around the same time period, though.
Like, it's not even like, if we're going to go into mythology, like, we're not even talking about like the top level of gods. We're not talking about the top 12. You know, we're talking about like the frauds. You know, like we're talking about the mid majors of Greek mythology.
Yeah, it's look, man, it's a weird thing. I don't get it. I remember when I first moved to Houston, especially when I started working at the flagship, and then I realized that McLean would like do weekly interviews on Tennessee radio still,
And
I'm like. Why? And then people had to explain to me like how, like even though he doesn't really cover them, his voice still mattered for some reason for a team he didn't cover. Like the whole Titan fan base, I think is strange. I don't get it. I don't get why anyone living in Houston would root for that team. It's not like they, besides the Houston Sports Hall of Fame, it's not like they do like events here and recognize them also. Like it's not like the Adams family comes to town and does like Oilers night at a bar and then brings all the legends out. Like they're just
they don't even do that.
It's strange. Like I don't understand
and
at all.
I get the sour feelings towards that Amy has towards the city. I totally get them, but I also think that the Titans are a bunch of pussies for not wearing the Oilers stuff on Sunday.
Well, like,
we lost here.
But you lost.
Here's the thing. I bet if the Titans ever have a good enough team and they come back here again, they'll do it. They'll do it again.
I wonder if the NFL won't let them wear them here, but they should.
They should.
Because if you need like an actual rivalry, that kicks it.
Here's the other thing, Joe. This game is a nothing burger, okay? Yeah. Like, if the Texans lose, it's a disaster. If they win, most people are going to be like, eh, whatever. I do think there are some things that can be gleaned in this game if they actually play well against a team that has a really good defensive line, if they protect C.J. Stroud. There are things to be gleaned from this, but from a big picture thing, the only reason that game last year had any buzz in Nashville was because a Texas team with Case Keenum under center was going up against a team wearing the uniforms, and it seemed like a big FU. The NFL should not be shying away from something that makes people talk about a game that, let's be honest, is not really a big deal in the grand scheme of things in the United States. It's not, or the NFL.
I even wonder like if they're allowed to. Maybe I saw Landry tweet about this. I don't want to take his words out of context. Like, there's a key question, like, if they can even, they're allowed to wear the H-Town blue jerseys against the Titans. Like, it's all, because that's the thing, like, there's also a very clear level of pettiness.
Oh, yeah, and I kind of like it. Like, you heard it from Hannah there, and of course, you're getting it from the Adams family. But
I think they need a little more, still, though.
More pettiness?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Like, I need Cal to give some of the pettiness.
But Cal has become such a politician in this. Like, it's almost like he plays good cop. And Hannah plays bad cop whenever they talk about these other teams. And I kind of like it. It's a fun gag, you know? The traveling pair of billionaires.
Yeah, at wherever random event they're at when they do it. Mm-hmm. That's also what I love about it. They're always at these most random events. Like, is it their firefighter event?
Well, listen, they support the firefighters.
But they're just randomly at these events when they are available, and then they talk trash.
I just think it's really funny that she was talking trash in a firefighter outfit.
Yeah.
That probably was the smallest one they could find, and even then it was probably still too big.
Tony says both teams should wear the Oilers gear when they play.
That would be funny.
Yeah.
That actually would be funny.
One team wears blue, one team wears white.
Well, there's the old Oilers uniforms where there was one point where they had the light blue helmets, and then there were the 80s era, because those were the AFL era that you've seen the Titans wear before, and then you have the more recent era, Love You Blue and Beyond, where the helmet was white.
Yeah.
That would be pretty funny.
We'll never see it, though.
No, we won't. It's a shame.
The game should have last year just been for the uniforms.
I agree.
Like, play a game for...
It would be funny every year if that's what they played for.
Oh, like, and it goes back and forth?
Right. Like, look, people would buy the uniforms.
It's like a trophy in college football.
All the revenue is shared by the NFL. So, I mean, like, that's the one thing that the Titans have. Why not? I mean, more people are going to buy it if it's here. And of course, the Cougs are wearing some Oilers stuff this weekend, too. So what would be most on brand and most likely to happen of those three things? The Texans lose to the Titans, A&M loses to Auburn, or, Joe, another one that you threw in there, not Texas versus Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Day and Ohio State losing to Indiana.
Because he keeps losing these top five matchups. I didn't even think about Texas losing. Like, that's kind of what I think of the game when I put that on there. Like, I just – they might not cover, but I'm assuming they're going to win. I think it's A&M. That even, like, it's the Elko era. Things feel a little different. Like, I just feel like that's the more on-brand thing to potentially happen this weekend would be the A&M loss. You don't agree? You think it's Texans?
I think it's really easy to say Texas A&M here. I feel like the spread being 2.5, I feel like A&M knows that, given the way that they played against South Carolina, that they can blow games like this.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, if they had one loss or zero losses, they'd be in more danger this weekend.
Okay, that makes sense.
I do think there's a chance the Titans win this one. I do.
Really?
There's always a chance. It's the NFL, yeah. Joe. I mean, we just saw the Browns beat the Steelers last
night.
Yeah,
I mean, we've seen Will Levis have, like, moments. Like, you think
Will Levis does have occasional moments,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're like, it wouldn't shock me if him and, I'm assuming Calvin Ridley's healthy. I don't even know at this point in the season, but connects on a 60-yard pass to somebody. And we've seen Levis do that. He did that in his first – remember his first game? Didn't he throw, like, two big bombs?
His first game – yeah, Jeremy Branham had a pass down. He had four touchdowns. They were all, like, bombs, too. From the 281, I like how y'all talk mess about the Titans and all this, but y'all are the same people who worshipped Deshaun Watson until he decided to do what he did. Well, I will say this. First off, Daddy right here was the first one to tell you that Watson was never going to be as good as Mahomes. Two, Daddy roots for the gods of football, the New England Patriots, and I can talk trash about anybody for at least three more years. I get three more years.
I guess I'm just, like, really confused on how these things are correlated.
This guy's just – he's upset. He can't explain why he's a Titans fan, but he's upset.
Yeah.
He's upset. It is okay. It is okay.
Yeah, because Deshaun Watson still is better than any quarterback the Titans have had since Steve McNair.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sorry, we didn't know he was a pervert.
You should always expect your quarterback to be a pervert. Like, is that the lesson? I guess the lesson is, like, don't assume guy's character off the field.
Yeah.
But it was funny with Watson. I mean, he, by all accounts, was fantastic.
Dude.
He's doing a lot of things in the community.
Yeah,
think back
to Harvey, like, as a rookie, taking his paychecks, giving it to the kitchen staff.
And then all of a sudden, I remember I got – once this stuff all came out, like, I had been told a couple of things by a couple of people. I was like, I could definitely tell the man just – does not care. He shoots his shot with everybody. Because, like, there's a friend of mine who he slid in the DMs of, which is his thing. I don't know if he asked her for a massage.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of a girl I took out on a date told me that, like, she was in the elevator with him, and he basically pulled a "Do you know who I am?" in the elevator, and she got the ick from it.
Yeah, she should.
Honestly, like, I'm kind of glad. I don't think the date would have happened if she didn't get the ick from it. But he's like, oh, the starting quarterback of the Houston Texans. I was like, all right. And again, she told me that story, but it does seem on brand with just
it does.
Who he was.
Yeah, we got duped a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how these things are connected, but we got duped.
We did. He's Joe. I'm Paul. 10-minute drill's up next. I will say, first off, Thursday Night Football last night was amazing. We have to play audio. I say I'm a Patriots fan and, like, I'm above everybody. The Patriots did something so effing embarrassing yesterday, and it involves one of our beloved Cougs. I can't, like, the disrespect that the New England Patriots just showed to the Houston Cougars, mind-boggling. You'll hear it next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, touch!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Do have some good news for the Texans. Will Anderson will play on Sunday. He confirmed that with local media today. So they will have one of their best pass rushers. Did you know this? That now, with the performance that he had Monday night, two more sacks, Danielle Hunter is tied, Joe, with Will Anderson for 7.5 sacks this year.
All right. I mean, that's what you want. You're going to invest as much in your defensive line. You got a guy who had 16.5 sacks last year, and Anderson had, what, he had 8? 7?
He did, yes.
Something like that. So you had you know, you want them to get close to that number again this year, and they've been kind of as advertised, I would say. Mm-hmm. So that's huge.
Sean, I'm going to put you on the spot here, but Tim Settle, Texas defensive tackle, is one of the funnier players on the team. I feel like he generally gives the best quotes, and he was asked about Danielle Hunter. Settle, by the way, has 5 sacks this year. I really liked his description of Danielle Hunter, who I cannot stop talking about the massive biceps of.
Like, wow, that's
I
shake
my head every play. And then I'm playing next to this dude that looks like a mannequin and plays like he runs track. But, you know, he sets everything up for everybody. And, you know, like, it's kind of a thing where, you know, he kind of just goes and you just, like, go off of him. He's going to lead you to the ball. He's going to lead you to the play. You know, he sets a lot of stuff off. If it's not Will, it's him. You know, guys worry about him. You can kind of feel that throughout the game. The more he stresses offenses, the more the offense loosens up, and it allows us to lead.
Plays like a mannequin, looks like he runs track.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, that's the biggest man I've ever seen run track. I've never seen a guy who runs track with biceps that big. Like, I don't believe him. I feel like he looks like somebody who could be in World's Strongest Man competition.
Yeah, like maybe like in high school he ran track.
Also, he's bigger than the mannequins.
A lot. Yeah, what mannequins? Well, then again, Tim Settle probably shops at different stores than you and I do. You know,
I don't think. What does that mean?
Like big and large stores? Do those still exist?
I think so. I don't know.
So like maybe like he's, you know, at the mannequins
there.
The
bigger mannequins there?
Yeah, they're huge. They're ripped.
Maybe. It could be that. I don't know if they're going to be more ripped, but we'll see. I don't know. Thursday Night Football, it's a game that's played on Thursday night, and sometimes Al Michaels doesn't like it, even if there's snow and Jameis Winston doing Jameis Winston things, and you also, on top of all of that, you have George Pickens getting in a fight with somebody in the middle of a Hail Mary. It's the new theme song for Thursday Night Football.
And Jameis Winston, very funny.
Jameis Winston was very funny.
It was a fun game, man. I love snow games. I mean, and there were some great plays. I mean, we didn't even mention, like, the Jameis Winston, the back of the shoulder throw that Njoku went up and got on the two-point conversion was great. The fact that the battery pack from his microphone's hanging off his helmet is very, like, only Jameis Winston that happens to.
He has the most awkward helicopter touchdown ever. Browns won 24-19, and it came for George Pickens said that the Browns still stink. Well, you lost that game. After the game, we didn't even get to this when we talked about the game earlier. Myles Garrett decided, I'm going to cut a wrestling promo and talk about how I am the best defensive player in the NFL after a 3-sack performance, and T.J. Watt ain't bleep.
I mean, he spoke of the coin toss, but that's about it. You know? Like I said, I got a lot of respect for him, a lot of respect for, you know, all the guys over there, and you know, the edge rusher in the league, but I'm number one. And no, that's from edge one to defensive player of the year. I'm the guy. So that runs through me. There's no other person being defended as I am or schemed or planned against like I am. So this goes to show, you know, you can throw that out the window. I'm going to find a way.
Is he the greatest Aggie ever? Is it Von Miller? Is it Mike Evans? Is there somebody else that I'm missing who's a little bit further back in time? I think Daryl Green was one.
I'd say Myles Garrett above Von Miller for sure at this point, just because I think his ceiling was much higher as a player. And Von Miller was great, but Myles Garrett is just a monster.
I mean, Von Miller kind of almost single-handedly won a Super Bowl for the Broncos, though.
That's true. Mike Evans, he's got now 7 games it is, or whatever, to get his 11th straight 1,000-yard receiving season, and that's a pretty incredible feat. If he's able to achieve that coming back from injury this weekend or starting this weekend. Mm-hmm. I think I sneaky like Mike Evans as number one. I'm probably wrong, but like the production is just so consistent and so good every single year.
I'll say Garrett. Von Miller's great, but I think Garrett just is more imposing.
Yeah.
I felt like Evans, great receiver, no doubt about it. I always felt like Evans could play with his size a little bit more than he did, but that's like a nitpick. By the way, clean up an aisle, me. Daryl Green went to Texas A&M Kingsville. My bad.
Where's that?
Kingsville, I think.
Well, where's Kingsville? That's the question. I know it's in Kingsville.
He's an H-Town guy. He's like probably the fastest dude of the last generation of football, like the 90s and before. Anyway.
Devon Achane next.
Ryan Tannehill, Johnny Manziel. I mean, Myles Garrett got away with beating somebody on the head with a helmet.
That's true.
And honestly, I feel like it was merited because no one wanted to watch Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, attempted murder.
No one's ever leaked the audio of what happened, and I know some people like take Mason Rudolph's defense here. I don't. I bet Mason Rudolph said something. Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have done that for no reason at all.
I don't think you react in that violent of a way unless you feel it's very necessary.
No snitches there. And, I mean, yeah, you say something stupid.
what? Yeah, this isn't getting...
All of a sudden there's certain versions of getting your ass beat for saying something we don't believe it anymore.
Yeah, this isn't some, you know, getting mad at a person at a, you know, car rental place.
Continuing around the National Football League, Daniel Jones, who... gave a very long press conference yesterday because it was announced he was not going to start games for them the rest of the year, has been released. The Giants are calling it a mutual parting of ways. L. Duncan from ESPN, who I got to say rather cocky, certainly wants to enter the take space, but is technically a SportsCenter anchor, decided to do this drive-by on Daniel Jones for his press conference yesterday.
Normally reserved taking the L for Fridays, but Giants quarterback Daniel Jones just did something so inexplicable that we made an exception. After being benched this week, Jones took to the podium to say goodbye to the franchise and fans, but with like 7 games left in the season.
All right, wrote something down just to make sure I say it the right way.
I'm sorry. You have to write this down? Didn't you go to Duke?
The opportunity to play for the New York Giants was truly a dream come true, and I'm extremely grateful to the Mara and Tisch families for the chance to play here. The Giants are truly a first-class organization, and I have nothing but genuine respect and appreciation for the people who have built it and who helped carry on that tradition. Thank you to all my teammates, coaches, and staff that have done so much for me these past 6 years. Of course, this season has been disappointing for all. I'm excited for the next opportunity. I know that there's a lot of good football in front of me, and I'm excited about that. To all the fans, I have deep respect and appreciation for your passion and love for the Giants. The fans are a huge part of what makes playing for the Giants so special. Thank you.
You guys think he had this saved in his notes since, like, 2020? In all seriousness, DJ, I could have saved you, like, 90 seconds. A rewrite. Sorry you paid me $108 million for one playoff win, and I look forward to reviving my career as Brock Purdy's backup. The end.
Not a bad landing spot.
Just before he got released, which the goodbye, when we saw it happening yesterday as we were in the studio, I was like, this is strange. Like, they don't typically say goodbye, and then they release him today because he requested it. Honestly, like, I think I'll go the opposite. Like, we give the Jets a lot of hard time, but, like, this is the same franchise that ruined an incredibly long streak of started games but for Eli Manning. For 1 week, they benched him, and then they put him back in. It's not his fault. He made the playoffs with Brian Daboll and then got a contract. They knew they shouldn't have given it to him when he fell down the field when he had the 70-yard rushing touchdown, and it looked like a sniper shot him. Like, careful, L. That's what I would say. I look forward to
the way she did that. Sorry for my language. Was bitchy.
Yeah, 100%.
You're kicking down. Now, of course, like, I understand why he gave the press conference. He just got released.
Yeah.
So maybe they knew that this was going to happen all along. There is an element of, I think, black media who really doesn't like Daniel Jones. And by the way, I get it. Because there have been a lot of black quarterbacks over the course of the NFL's history who did not get as much time to play as others and maybe got run after. But this isn't on Daniel Jones. This is on the Giants,
yes,
who thought Daniel Jones was good. So if you're going to make fun of someone, make fun of the Giants today. Not make fun of the guy who did what all of us in the world would do if presented with the opportunity. We're going to say, oh, no, I'm not good enough for that. And she's like, dump it on the speech. I mean, I don't know. I'd probably write something out, too. Oh, you went to Duke. You can't do anything better than that.
Yeah.
Like, all of it felt weirdly personal. And there does feel like an element of that with Daniel Jones specifically. And look, I do get it. 6 years is an insane amount of time to let this guy continue to play in the NFL. No quarterback that bad will probably ever get that much rope to literally hang himself with on the field. as Daniel Jones gets. It's never going to happen again. And you can do all the whataboutisms that you want. But I don't know. Like, a lot of the same people coming after Daniel Jones are the same people who are acting like Justin Fields doesn't suck.
Yep.
And, again, like,
100% sorry to bring the player I was thinking of.
Sorry to bring race into it, but this is a part of why people are jumping on Daniel Jones. I don't think it should be about that as much as it should be about the Giants, as Joe said, have been an effing clown car for years.
Yep, and they got two Super Bowls out of it for a quarterback that people are trying to put into the Hall of Fame who finished exactly 500.
Exactly.
Like, give me a break. No, I do think Justin Fields, Daniel Jones, was talking about a lot this offseason about how Fields is going to have to fight for a job in Pittsburgh. Daniel Jones is not. I mean, but, like, once again, not Daniel Jones' fault. He never should have been the quarterback in New York, ever. Look what they did. Before they cut him, they made him QB4. Like, they're dumb. They're going to fire their coach. He's probably going to get a head coaching job in the same offseason. Would love for Brian Daboll to be the head coach of the Bears. Cool. Sign me up. You got Daniel Jones bum ass to the playoffs.
That's not happening, though, Jeff.
Fine with me.
It's not. They're not. I think they're going to stick with Daboll, but they're a poorly run organization. And I was talking with my friends earlier. Like, some of whom are Giants fans. I was like, you guys should have had to eat this. I think it's obviously there's an injury provision so that you could get out of this contract, but I think it's really lame to bench a guy who gives you the best chance to win because you don't want to pay him.
Denver did it last year.
Don't sign him to the contract. Give him the franchise tag if you're not committed to him long term. That's what they should have done to begin with. Like, it was them giving him the long term contract because he had one good year with Daboll was crazy. Like, everything we had seen to the point screamed that was not going to continue. Anyway, this is so much Giants talk. Anyway, let's shift. Let's talk about my embarrassing franchise.
What's wrong with your franchise? It's not your fault that the people who run this stupid-ass Hall of Fame are idiots.
No, I don't care. Bob Kraft doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. No owner deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, but there's other owners in, so he deserves to be in.
I agree with that. I would not be surprised if his background, and I'm not just talking about the massage stuff, I'm wondering if there's a little bit of an anti-something agenda going on behind the scenes, but that's neither here nor there. The New England Patriots got their 12th choice at offensive coordinator. His name is Alex Van Pelt.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has just disrespected the University of Houston. I don't know how many people are aware of Marcus Jones, friend of Tank Dell, Houston Cougar, very good player who did a lot of different things for the Cougars, third-round draft pick of the Patriots, a guy who led the NFL in punt return yards in 2022, but also is a pretty good gadget player. In fact, he scored a touchdown on offense for the New England Patriots. He scored a touchdown week 13 against the Bills in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
On a 48-yard catch and run. So offensive coordinator Alex Van Pelt, who is not good and is being bailed out by the Drake May presence on his team, probably will continue as offensive coordinator next year, had no idea that Marcus Jones had played on a Patriots offense lacking any weapons until Jones sent him a text. Here is Alex Van Pelt acknowledging this.
Because he called and asked. That's seriously, he did. He texted. I got a text from Marcus Jones, and I'm going back in my mind, like, Marcus would just come and sit, talk to me in the building, I would think. So I was Googling Marcus Jones's, and there was a guy that came through Green Bay for a cup of coffee. I'm like, why would he be texting me? And then one of our coaches came and said, Marcus is trying to get a hold of you. So watched 19 plays of his that he's done here as an offensive player. He obviously brings a lot of juice, tremendous ball carrier, speed, his ability to see the field. So try to find some plays just to get our guys in the best position to make plays, and felt like he would give us a little spark there. We'll see how it goes moving forward.
I don't want to hear him anymore. Sean, cut him off. Cut him off.
How
cut
is
him
that?
Off. I don't know. Joe, like, this organization, again, I've got 4 years that I can continue to crow about the past before I become a Cowboys fan. They got their 12th choice at offensive coordinator, and the guy didn't even know on a team that does not have any weapons at receiver that a guy who played for our Cougs, is actually capable of doing things on offense.
Yeah.
Until the guy texted him. How?
And
the Patriots are bragging about this. They put an article up on Patriots.com saying, like, look at this cute story. Marcus Jones texted Alex Van Pelt that he can play on offense. And naturally, everyone in Boston Austin, who's a skeptical, cynical a-hole, we're all like, are you serious? You're bragging about this? You just found out?
Dude.
The guy scored a touchdown on primetime TV.
I mean, and he like, is one of the most electric players we've had over the last decade in college. Like, every time he touched the ball, like,
yeah,
like, even if he hadn't played offense before, watch him on punt return and kick return in college or in the NFL. I'm like, oh, this is probably a good idea. We should probably run screen passes to him to see what he can do in the open field. My gosh. This is where I know there's 32 teams, but sometimes I wonder why we have 32 of them just because the amount of morons who are coaching the sport. Like, that's why, like, when these people get all pissy with the media trying to act like they know more than us, I'm like, okay. You got an offensive coordinator who literally didn't know one of his players played offense.
Unbelievable.
Like, they act like they're so all high and mighty. Like, and it's like, okay, go for it, dude. Like, good luck.
Yep.
Hey, but you know what? At least they didn't hire the worst offensive coordinator this last offseason. So
was that Shane Waldron?
That was my team.
Yeah. Yeah, our favorite teams are not in great shape. So let's talk about everybody's favorite team in Houston. Sean, I'm going to throw a curveball at you. I think it's time to continue our countdown to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach, Florida. We are 82 days away, and live from Twin Peaks on Kirby, I am demanding that bone.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
Pay no mind to the trombone in the background. The trombone-only version of How About Them Strohs by Paul Wall. Look it up online. Yeah. I wonder great. If that guy, if anyone's left any comments on that guy's video. And he's like, what's going on? He might start asking for royalties, though. I kind of want.
Yeah, he might charge us for this.
Yeah. John Heyman says the Astros have extended an offer to Alex Bregman.
Ooh?
What that offer is... 6-year range, supposedly. But they have made an offer.
Well, that's more than we found out about George Springer. We never heard about an offer being made because there probably wasn't one, officially at least. So, sounds like a step in the right direction. I would like him to get it done before the holidays. I don't need a bunch of sad kids in Houston getting Christmas presents from their parents that don't know what they're doing. And they open Alex Bregman jerseys only to realize he's no longer on the team. Should avoid that, Alex. Take care of the kids. Think of the kids, Alex.
Well, would you bring your kids to Detroit? Because in that post by John Heyman in the New York Post, the Tigers are also in the mix.
I'm not surprised by that. I mean, there were the reports last year. Like, people have been connecting Bregman and Verlander both to Detroit. This is a team that we saw, obviously, is like on the cusp of trying to build something in still a mostly trash division. Like, all those teams made the playoffs essentially because of the White Sox. But Detroit's on their way up. They have a Cy Young winner now in Scooble. They have money to spend. And we know they spend recklessly. Javier Baez. So, it wouldn't shock me if AJ Hinch is pulling the strings there and saying, go get Alex, go get Verlander. Let's get some veteran presence here and let's make a run.
We've also got, Joe, a rumor that the Astros, I guess, are possibly in the one soda sweepstakes.
I guess, I don't know if I would quantify this as a rumor, but The Athletic put out a story, Jim Bowden, and he power ranked 1 through 10 the teams that would be most likely to sign Juan Soto. And he put the Astros on the list.
Where are they?
9th.
Okay.
But they're in the top third of the league then.
There's a lot of flexibility that would give you.
Yes.
Signing Juan Soto would allow you to trade Kyle Tucker.
Yes.
You've probably seen bye to Alex Bregman.
Do you think they even take a meeting? Like, do you think they even try to meet with Juan Soto, though? I was just thinking about the other, like... Like, they didn't meet with Ohtani.
You don't want it to get leaked.
I think you do want it to get leaked. Well, I guess...
I don't know. I feel like given the Bregman negotiations and given Kyle Tucker, you got to be careful with this. And I bring that up because of if you've watched that Netflix documentary about the Red Sox and Yankees back in 2003, 2004.
Sure.
Like, Nomar Garciaparra was being shopped around. He found out about it. Then he had actually been traded, but then the trade got canceled. And he was not the same guy the next year.
Yeah.
So I think those are two things you want to keep in mind. If they pay Juan Soto and don't pay Kyle Tucker, that might piss Kyle Tucker off. And if they pay or try to pay Juan Soto and they're not trying to pay Alex Bregman, that might piss Bregman off.
Especially when it's the same agent. Like, that's why I think you can't even.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't even
know.
Like,
good point.
Because if you're, let's say you go into a meeting with Scott Boras and you say, I know this is really below market value, but we'll give Juan Soto $400 million. And then Scott goes, okay, Juan, you're done for the day. And then Scott Boras walks back in the room and goes, no, let's talk about Alex Bregman. And they go, ah, we got $150 million for him max.
Right, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
not going to work out very well. So it's like, I feel like the Astros, like, can't even be considered as part of it. I was surprised to see them even just listed. Now, in a perfect world, trading Kyle Tucker for a third baseman and a starting pitcher under club control because you've signed Juan Soto would be an incredible move.
But you gotta be able to pull this off like you're yeah. Heisenberg killing 12 people in the jail at once.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, like, now, I think the Nomar one's a good comp. It's still, I guess I don't really, I guess it was like a collective bargaining agreement issue with Alex Rodriguez was the reason why they couldn't make that deal. But it was a great idea. I mean, they traded Manny, Nomar, got A-Rod, a bunch of other pieces. It was a great move. It just blew up in their face. Honestly, I'd love to see the Astros try it. Try to get Soto.
This is something you'd 100% do in a video game.
Yes.
A couple other baseball tidbits. I'm going to call them tidbits. Shohei Ohtani won MVP. Unanimous.
Yep.
His third time as unanimous MVP.
First player to ever do that.
In anything.
Yeah.
Not... It's only happened twice in football. Tom Brady in 2010, Lamar Jackson in 2019. It's only happened once in basketball. Steph Curry for 15 and 16. And twice for Wayne Gretzky and Connor McDavid in the NHL. Ohtani has won three MVPs in 4 years, all of them unanimous. Aaron Judge also won his first unanimous MVP. Mm-hmm. 23 baseball players have won unanimous MVPs. Jeff Bagwell in 1994 in the strike-shortened year. Reggie Jackson, formerly of the Astros,
yes.
Letterman Jacket Skull and Bone Society in 1973 with the, I think, the A's.
Are we in...
Like, Ohtani has three.
Greatest of all time territory already with Ohtani? Like, is it done?
He's on the table.
I mean, it feels like it's done. He's got the World Series.
I mean,
three unanimous MVPs. He's the biggest unicorn in the history of sports.
I think he has to pitch again.
Yeah,
because the pitching gives him a leg up on any hitters who might be slightly better than him. But I mean, yeah, Barry Bonds probably better hitter than him.
But the thing is, like, no roids, right? Like, Barry Bonds will never be in the Hall of Fame. It's stupid. He's
no,
not in
just
the Hall of
illicit
Fame.
Winnings from. I mean, just yeah. shady translators.
Still cannot believe that story went the way it did.
Yeah.
Feels like we're going to wake up one day and expose of what really happened.
Doubtful.
I think there's at least more to the story that maybe won't, like, bury Ohtani, but there's just no way, like, you have all that money stolen from you. The guy, like, you're closest to, a player who used to play with you, got suspended for gambling as well. Like, it's still too much for me. But even then, I don't care. Because I don't care about Pete Rose. I don't care about Shohei Ohtani.
No, I don't either. It's more just to get Dodgers fans mad.
Yes.
So that's entirely the reason everyone was trolling them this past offseason. He's Joe and Paul. We're Gallon and George here at Twin Peaks on Kirby. Come out and hang out for the scenic views. also, coming up next, if you want to talk about the Texans and the Titans, you can. Is C.J. Stroud doing too much? I have compiled all of the one-liners he's been dropping straight out of Commando into one clip. So you'll get to hear him. Plus, if you want to weigh in on the Texans and Titans and the big test that's on the table for Houston, you can. Texas A&M versus Auburn. Texas versus Kentucky, all on the table too. It is Gallon and George, third and final hour next. Stick around.
The Food and Rain rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.